band. This is brutal. Absolutely brutal. I can't wait to get a different technology platform in which to do these little podcasts. I'm sure we could just record it in our handy dandy recorders or into our phones. But I've been using Blog Talk Radio for a while, and for some reason, it's just a complete, you know what, cluster tonight, not working correctly. So anyway, and we still haven't heard from Lars. We don't know where he's at. He's just gone MIA when he knew we were going to do the show. So you can kind of get a taste of the little frustrations that I deal with on a daily basis. Anyway, I wanted to kind of cover a few things. I was hoping that Lars would show up and give us the some sort of scouting report on Taylor Rapp and Daniel Bridgegad and Miles Rice, who he covered most of the time back there during the 2015 season, recruiting season, and then throughout the 2016 when Rice was trying to get his gray shirt status removed so he could enroll. But I don't know if Lars is going to show up, so we'll just wait and see. But in the meantime, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the Husky recruiting headlines today. Obviously, this Mike Juarez thing was the top story of the day. And I kind of stepped in it. I did step in it. But I had reason, and I'm usually pretty... And I'm not trying to toot my horn, and I know a lot of you guys just think I'm some crazy lady in Liberty Lake. But, you know, you have to be crazy to even be in this business in the first place, so I'll own that for now. But I'm usually pretty sure of my information. And the thing with Mickey Juarez is that he talked to both Ryan Bartow and Lars yesterday, and then I talked to a couple other sources last night. There was no problem with Washington that anybody was aware of, you know, I mean, gosh, and I'm not just going on the whole thing of his pictures on Twitter and all that jazz. I don't go by that. So when it came out today, when Gorney posted that, you know, he's down to two and it's Ole Miss and UCLA, I'm like, no, that can't be right. That can't be right because, you know, just 12 hours ago, he was still talking about Washington. So it just got kind of funky there. And I was like, there's just no way this is right. Maybe Gorney heard him wrong. I don't know. So what happened was I texted Mike. I knew he was at practice, but I thought when he gets out of practice, he's going to see that text, which he did. But in the meantime, I talked to my guys down in San Antonio that are there for the bowl game, the 247 guys, Ryan Bartow, and there's some other guys there. And Bartow says, you know, we'll see what we can find out. We're going to head these guys off. They're going back to their hotel. We'll be there waiting and we'll get some quotes. So he did, and he texted me back after he talked to Mike and said, well, I guess it's true. And that was when he told me the quote about Mike saying, you know, if I want to do that at Washington, I can just do it at UCLA, and which was really obtuse and strange and cryptic because we weren't really sure what that was except, you know, play football. So it was odd. But that was the only quote I had to go on. And so I ran with it and just said, yes, it's true. He's eliminated Washington. And in the meantime, Mike got my text. He got back to his hotel room and got my text. So he texted me back. And that was when I put up the second bolt about this in which he said, I know that sounded kind of harsh. And, you know, here's what it really comes down to. And he talked about it being the, you know, not the fit and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that's in the bolt. And you have to sign up and pay premium for that. I'm not going to divulge all that information here for free. Girls got to make a living. And so it was like, wow, yeah, I guess it's true. And so I had to go apologize to Gorney, which was just like, you know, getting a freaking root canal, but I did it. And I had to own up to the fact that I was wrong on this. I mean, I was just, but again, like I said, I don't think anybody really saw that coming because it was kind of random. You know, I mean, he'd been down there, you know, for less than 24 hours. And it's like, all of a sudden now he's dropping Washington. And so it's like, well, what happened? But I don't really think there's anything nefarious going on. I think it's just, you know, this happens a lot during the All-American Bowl week because you know, guys get down there, and I think what happens is they get around other recruits, they start comparing notes and talking, and sometimes, you know, they just, for some reason, they just get more clarity or something. I've seen it happen before. I've seen guys go down there. There was one time a guy was going to go, God, I can't even think of his name now. This was several years ago. This was back, I think, when Willingham was on staff, or Gilby or somebody. And there was a guy, and he took a Washington hat because he was going to announce at the game that he was going to Washington. He took the hat. And I know this for a fact. This was no lie. There's no BS. This was going to happen. He got down there, and overnight, or well, I'd say over the course of the week, he changed his mind and wound up going to, I think it was Arizona, if I recall. I can't think of the kid's name, though, so forgive me. But yeah, so this, you know, this can be a weird week down there for these kids. So, you know, nothing to surprise us. And I've been doing this long enough to know nothing should surprise me, but it still does. So that's the story on Mieke. And then you've got Camilo Eifler coming on Twitter and saying, oh, no, it's just a big joke. It's not really, you know, he still likes Washington. And so it just gets kind of to where we're actually in the silly season, like I said on Twitter. Somebody said, what does that mean exactly? And I said, well, just pay attention and you'll find out, because it gets silly. But, you know, the thing about Mieke Juarez is that he says that he's down to Ole Miss and UCLA. I tell you, it's late. UCLA now. But he's going to take an official visit to Alabama on the 23rd of this month. And I asked him about that. I will share this little tidbit of the VIP article. And that is that I asked him about that. And he said, well, he goes, I couldn't really say Alabama was part of that group of top schools because I haven't visited there yet. So, you know, this could definitely go down to signing day. Who knows? I'm sick of this recruiting season already, but I have to keep covering it. But there's good news also out there for Husky fans with this defensive recruiting. Well, I don't know if it's good news, but Jonathan Kongbo is still very much in play. Talked to him last night. He says he's locked in that visit for this month. He's bringing, you know, he's already been up there one time on an unofficial visit with his dad. This time he's going to have the folks with him, and he insists that he's taken that visit. And then he has another visit he has one official visit left, and he was going to sit down and start tonight kind of going through all his offers, all his paperwork, all the choices he has, and decide, you know, who's going to get that visit. Nobody really knows yet. And he was going to shoot a text this way and let me know. And he's really good about that. So I believe he will, but I didn't get anything tonight. So there you go. But I think it's probably going to be either Alabama or USC just offered him, you know, Oregon's still in play, obviously, but they've made some changes on the defensive staff. So I don't know if that's going to make a huge difference at this point. I don't know. And much to the chagrin of the Duck fans who read our stuff, he doesn't really bring them up much. He talks a lot about Alabama, some of the other schools that have offered him, and certainly Tennessee, the school he's committed to. So, you know, I don't know if I would say, hey, you know, this is great news for Washington, but at the same time, they're in it. They're in play, and he loves the scene in Seattle. He loves the proximity. He loves his car, and he likes to drive his car. And so the idea of being able to drive back and forth between Seattle and BC is really appealing to him. So that's certainly going to be one to watch. The other one is Levi Onwuzurike from Texas, and Washington's still in play for him. He's still in touch with the coaches as much as possible, you know, and it's dead period, so they can't go out and see these guys right now. But, you know, the kids oftentimes reach out to them, and they talk during this period of time in other ways, you know, that are legal. And he's still very much in play for Washington and really likes the scene there. The thing about Kongbo, and this is the thing about Levi, is that, you know, they're going to get to meet Akaika Molloy when dead period ends. So, you know, that's going to be a big thing. And Akaika is a really good recruiter, and he's, you know, who better to sell the program than a guy that went there and played football there and played football during a period of time when, you know, things were still, you know, on a happy note at Washington, you know, before the winter of our discontent happened. So, you know, I think Akaika is going to be a real, real solid asset to the staff in terms of recruiting and coaching. And the other guys that we're keeping our eye on right now, you know, obviously Jevon McKinley of Corona, California. And, you know, he's choosing between Washington, Oregon, and Notre Dame. But a lot of, you know, even Duck fans will say they don't think he's coming to Oregon. I see a lot of chatter about it's going to be Notre Dame or Washington. People are trying to read into the things he said in the article this weekend with 247, in which he talked about how he's already made his decision. He knows what school he's going to. And he talked about being able to get his degree and the support of the community after college and the area. And so a lot of people are saying, well, that can't be South Bend because nobody likes South Bend, you know, but you know, it can't be Washington because Washington is not as academically prestigious as Notre Dame. So, I mean, this is just this typical stuff that these recruits like to drive us adults crazy with. But, you know, I could go either way, really. I think that Washington made up great ground with McKinley. You know, obviously Kentrell Love is his friend, and you know, that could come into play. They're playing a little game on Twitter tonight, in fact, where Kentrell's saying, you know, where do you think he should go, Washington or Notre Dame? Well, obviously, you know, these Husky fans all piled on, and it was like 83% of the votes were to Washington. So that's not a surprise. But, you know, that's going to come out soon. He's getting ready to announce. David Long and Byron Murphy. Who will it be? Will they take both? That is the question. Sometimes there's attrition going on that we don't know about. So even though us analysts think we have the numbers thing figured out, we usually don't. The coaches usually wind up signing more than we thought they were going to be able to sign. I'm not sure with the Murphy Long thing. I really couldn't say unless they've got a way to get them both in. You know, I know that that Murphy had said he knew that there was going to be, it was going to be a numbers game, and that he knew he had to consider that in his decision to see how much longer he was going to let this thing drag out. So, you know, this will be one to follow. Murphy had originally said he was going to announce at the Army All-American game, whereas David Long is not announcing couple more weeks, week and a half, couple more weeks. So definitely be watching for that storyline to shake itself out. Oh, and Onwards Ariki, I talked to him last week. That's Levi Onwards Ariki, for those of you who don't speak recruit Nick. And he's a DN from Texas, just so you know. He said last week, originally Lars had reported that he was going to be announcing on the 20th of this month. And then he said last week that he thought it could come sooner, maybe even, you know, like any time. Well, I talked to him today and he said, no, I'm going to do it on the 20th. So you can put that down on your little calendar. And who else is still in play? Oh, Zach Farrar, the wide receiver out of Texas. He's definitely still in play. You know, he was very close with Brent Pease, but apparently Bush Hamden is really out there. He's not right now because it's dead period, but he's been grinding and establishing relationships with these guys that Coach Pease had good relationships with. So that helps. Oh, my gosh. Who else is left on board? There's Lars guy that I can't even say his name. I don't cover this guy. I've never spoken to him. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. And that's this Yomi Hamahumu kid or whatever his name is. Lars, where are you, dude? God, I need you here. Lars seems to, well, I shouldn't speak for him, but if he doesn't show up, that's his own dang fault. He seems to think that Washington has an extremely good shot at this kid. So I reserve the right to say that because he's not here. Anyway, just trying to think of what else to cover. Oh, some news around the Pac-12 today, of course. Things are shaking up. Oregon, God, Oregon. Now there's a cautionary tale. I know Husky fans love to see the ducks having to swim around in the crapper and get flushed down. But this is, you know, this is not enjoyable to watch what they've gone through the past couple weeks. You know, this whole implosion of them, of their bowl game, and now, you know, Helfrich is having to demote a coach that's been on that, Don Palem, who's been on that staff, and he stepped up as D coordinator when Nick Eliotti was retired. And it's just, you know, it, you don't like to see any program having to go through all that stuff, even if it is the Ducks. And then they've got Braylon Addison, who's declared for the NFL draft, Morgan Mihalik, I think that's how you pronounce his name. I wouldn't know because we've never called it because he's never played. But he's left, or he's leaving. He got his release, so that's a quarterback leaving. You see, you can't mess around with quarterbacks. And I'll continue to assert that it was really not Jeff Lockie's fault of what happened the other night. That was a lot of pressure on that kid. And he wasn't prepared. And that's not his fault. Because TCU's backup quarterback came in too, and he hadn't started all year. He had 2 days to prepare. Whereas Lockie has started. He's played games this season because Vernon Adams was out. And I just kind of felt like that poor kid was left out there high and dry with a center who couldn't snap a football correctly. And it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing to watch. So, you know, you can say what you want, but at the end of the day, Oregon was up 31-0 when the backup quarterback went in. And the defense should have held, and they didn't. So there's just a lot of problems there across the board. And you know, defense is one thing, but they got to get their quarterback situation figured out. This was a hallmark of the Gilbertson-Willingham years before Jake Locker came along. The whole quarterback situation at Washington was a complete train wreck. And you couple that with some poor defensive play, and you've got a losing football team, and it's not going to win games. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with them, but I know that Helfrich is under a lot of pressure to get this thing back on the track. So, you know, the other school that I have real concerns about is UCLA. And I talked to another person who is a pretty avid football fan who's down in L.A., and even he agreed with me. It was like, what was wrong with Jim Mora during that bowl game? Jim Mora is a very animated guy. He's very emotional. He's very charismatic on the sidelines. And here they were getting embarrassed by Nebraska, a Nebraska team that in any normal year would not even have made it to a bowl game. And Mora is just walking up and down the sidelines like, huh, so what? You know, at one point I saw him laughing with the Nebraska player that got the targeting call. And I thought, well, this is really strange. This isn't the Jim Mora that we're used to seeing, who's throwing his headset down and he's got veins busting out of his head and neck. He just looks so calm. And it just kind of made me wonder, what in the heck's going on here? Is he leaving? What's going on? So I go check out, you know, the UCLA boards, and I talk to some of my friends down in LA, and I do have some sources that are inside that program. And nobody, you know, nobody really knows what's going on. One said, you know, we'll see. We don't really know. And maybe they're, you know, a lot of times they don't know. You know, who knew that Sark was going to leave for USC that morning that he went on the air and told KJR that he wasn't going anywhere? Who knew? And so these coaching things get like this. But it just seems odd the way Mora was on the sideline. So, you know, I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I'd love to hear him, because if he's staying at UCLA, he probably needs to come out and say so, because they're getting into the heart of recruiting season, and there's a lot of rumors that are just floating around, and he hasn't seemed to say anything. Oh, that's nice. Somebody told me they respected me on Twitter because I apologized to Adam Gorney. And you should. You know, this is just the bottom line. And I wish other people in this business would just throw the pride and the ego out the door into the garbage. You know, especially when you cover recruiting, you are covering teenagers. And there's an old saying that how do you know a teenager's telling a lie? And the answer is because their mouth is moving. Now, these are good kids. And these football players, a lot of them put a lot of emphasis on honor and respect and, you know, that sort of thing. But you get they're clueless. These are kids, you know, and if you've raised one, you know that. So we're in a business where we're dependent on the word of these kids. And a lot of times they're just going through it and their parents are encouraging them, you know, don't mess around, don't play games, be honest. And yet it's fun for them. They're having a good time. They're just, we were like that. We were back in the 70s when I was in high school. We liked to make prank phone calls. And so, you know, they're having a lot of fun with this process. They know that there's all these adults standing around just dying to hear what they're going to do. And I think they get a real kick out of messing with the minds of such adults. And they like the notoriety of having all these football fans hang on their every word. So as reporters, this is a treacherous business. This is a hard room to play because sometimes they just tell us a bunch of crap and we report it. And then it turns out that it was just all a bunch of crap. And then our readers are mad at us and our competitors talk about what idiots we are and how we can't be trusted. And I've been at this 16 years now. And one thing I've learned, and it's only been recently, and I think there's a certain wisdom that comes with age anyway, but that is that it's okay to be wrong sometimes. If we're reporting what we're told, then we're not doing anything wrong, period. And that goes for everybody, whether it's Real Dog or Dog Man or, you know, whoever. We're all just reporting what we're told. So today I broke my own cardinal rule and acted like a jerk to Adam Gorney because he was reporting something he was told and I thought it was wrong and I was rude. And so the thing that needs to be done in a moment like that. And I wish everybody in this business would give each other at least the respect to say, hey, I'm sorry. I doubted what you reported and I was rude to you and I apologize. It's not hard. It doesn't make you less of a person. It actually makes you a better person and a better reporter. And in the end, your word and your information is going to mean more because people will see that you're an honest person just trying to do an honest job. And as I said, a lot of this has come to me with age. And I would hope that as a reporter, if I could teach any of these younger guys anything, it would just be, you know, it's okay. We're all just trying to earn a living. And as long as we're just not making crap up and throwing crap against the wall and hoping something sticks, then we're doing the best we can do. And we're trying to compete with each other, with Twitter, with social media, with an internet that has completely spun into a whirlwind since we started this business. So, because when I started, there was no Twitter, there was no texting on your phone. And a lot of these kids didn't even have cell phones. They had their parents' landline in the kitchen. So it's changed a lot. And I just would like to see a lot more respect shown between publishers, even if they're competitors. So that's my wish. And I also wish for world peace. But I also wanted to tell you guys that there was a thing, Steele.com tonight, about his top 25 that he does. He has like this, you know, total Sheldon Cooper algorithm he throws into his computer, and it spits back numbers based on, you know, total defense, total offense, scoring defense, blah, 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 from all these teams in the bowl game. And Washington, it was a top 25, and Washington came in at number 14, but they were the highest ranked Pac-12 team. And I thought that was kind of cool. You know, the Stanford, I believe, was 17th, and then I think Cal was 20th. So, you know, this was a awful bowl season. I mean, Washington won, Stanford won the Rose Bowl, which was really cool. But good Lord, you know, you got Oregon, you got Arizona State, UCLA, USC. These guys just, you know, took a big you-know-what on the field in their games, and it was kind of embarrassing. So hopefully the Pac-12 gets a little stronger. I was glad to see Utah finish well, because they kind of petered out there at the end with the injury to Devontae Booker and, you know, Travis Wilson getting dinged around. And I was actually happy for the Cougars, because, you know, this was the year that Coach Leach's job was really on the line. It only helps the state of Washington and the Pacific Northwest when the rulers of the Pac-12 North are up in this side of the country. So that's cool. And Oregon State, you know, they had a tough season with the new coach, but I think they're going to get better. I think they're going to grow into that system that he's brought. I must say that a real disappointment was to see Coach Shaw allow his team to score that last touchdown in the Rose Bowl. I just thought it was tacky. You know, it's not like, they did it on a passing play. Okay. This wasn't rushing. They weren't trying to run out the clock. It was just kind of a, you know, stick it in your face type thing. And that's not something you expect to see out of a Stanford football team. So that was kind of a disappointment. Other than that, you know, USC, I'm not crazy about the Helton hire. I'm just not. I think they had a real opportunity. They've got the money. They've got the prestige to really get a sexy hire, and I don't think they did it. He may turn out to be great, but I'm not a fan at this point. And then, you know, you've got Colorado, and they're still trying to get their train back on the tracks, and that's a sad thing, too. I mean, Colorado was a really strong program back in the day, and I'd like to see them get stronger again, because that was always a fun little rivalry between them and Washington in bowl games, and then especially after Neuheisel came. But anyway, that's about all there is really to talk about today, aside from recruiting and aside from the fact that Lars is going to get an atomic wedgie the next time I see him. A couple things about Real Dog I wanted to let you guys know. 247 Sports has been acquired by CBS Sports Digital, and I'm not sure yet what kind of changes that could bring to the interface of our sites, but hopefully we'll get some really cool new toys to play with, bells and whistles, things like that. It's just a great situation for all of us publishers and for the guys that started 247 Sports, so we're really excited about that. Right now, we're running the same promo that we've been running, which is if you sign up now, you get a free trial of 7 days. And it is worth your money. There's so much we've got to offer on this network that is just so cool. And the crystal ball, the database, the composite rankings. Plus, I really feel like we offer a superior product in our recruiting coverage and team coverage. So give us a try if you haven't before. And this week is going to be all about the Army All-American game coming up this weekend. We've got the 247 guys down in Texas, and they are getting us the scoop as it happens. They should be putting out a list here any day of guys that are going to be announcing at the game and what time they're going to announce. So watch for that. And then after that, it's all about dead period being over, the coaches getting back on the road, and countdown to signing day. So with that, I'm going to sign off because I'm tired. And I can only sit here and talk by myself for so long. But we're going to have these radio shows from here on out on a regular basis. We'll get, like we do every year, we'll have some recruits on, some experts on, special guests. And if I don't kill Lars, he will be on too. We're also going to have Kyle Walters on too after the basketball game to talk about the Husky basketball team, because that's a really exciting subject right now too. So I shall sign off. It's a great time to be following Husky recruiting. And again, you can sign up, get 7 days free. And we would love to have you. And if you'd like to... just try us out, as I said, and you're strapped or anything, you can always shoot me an email. That's robbins@realdog.com. And, you know, I do have a scholarship. I know that sounds so cheesy, but it's true. I have a scholarship program that I can give out to about two or three people every couple of months. So let me know. I'm not Grinch. I'm actually pretty charitable when it comes to that kind of thing, because I know that the economy stinks. Anyway, signing off. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Be sure and check out our message board for live updates from the Army All-American Games, or Army All-American practice. And again, it's recruiting season, and anything is possible on any day from here on out. Signing off. Later on.